ahead and get started. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be here tonight. We're here to hear from you. We're here to be guided by your Spirit. So open our eyes, open our ears, and stir our hearts with questions about you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's just do a little quick review. Lesson one, we talked about what? What's the main theme of lesson one? I'm going to hammer this. Lesson one, we talked about this.
The Bible.
The Bible, right. The book, the good book. Or what's another thing? What is another thing about this book? What is it? It's a message. It's his story to us. So, yeah, I'm gonna keep doing that through the first probably 8 weeks here, we're going to keep rehashing. Lesson two, we talked about God's sovereignty, that God is over all. He is above all. He is all omnipresent. He's all over, right? And then the last week, we talked about what?
Angels.
And our world is fascinated with the angels and the spirit world. Angels have bodies like us. Is that true or false?
False.
They are spirit beings. However, God has allowed them through history to come in the form of a man. People would have seen them like that. But they are spirit beings, so they do not have body. They're not like us. And they were created for what? What purpose?
Messengers,
right. They were God's messengers. They were created for God and for his purpose and for his work. Any thoughts or any questions about last week? Okay, well, what's okay. Those things will come out of there.
Well, we had talked about it after we left. If all angels were created equal, then how come Lucifer got so powerful?
How did he get so powerful? Remember, Lucifer was, what did the Bible call him? Anointed. He was the anointed angel or anointed cherub, as the verse calls. And so he was completely perfect, and he was giving leadership, or he was the high angel that God had created.
So were angels given free will like we are?
I mean, were they given free will?
Is that how he rebelled?
I'll have my timeline. Get your timeline here, and we'll go to that, because we will talk about that on week 8, I believe it is, where Lucifer, we're going to use the term Lucifer, we had talked about your demons, there's the spirit world is a totally, it's hard to picture, but yet our culture is full of that. Video games, Facebook, you see it all around you. Now you can see where people's imagination of what angels look like, the spirit world looks like, and so on and so forth. So we will talk about that, and whether or not they have free will or how that works. So I'm not going to go there.
Paul made a statement that angels were all created equal.
Yeah, did I say that last week? I was trying to ask him a question.
He asked.
You were asking a question. So, anybody want to answer that before I go and give my answer?
Well, if Lucifer was anointed, then I don't think it could.
Correct.
There must be a hierarchy.
There are different angels. In the Bible, you have Michael the archangel, you have Gabriel, you have Lucifer, and they all had different roles.
So if Lucifer had free will, when we go to heaven, will we also be able to be condemned the same way he was and make those choices?
Can you table that question? The question was, if the angels had free will, and if that's the case, then when we get to heaven, can we also, again, change your minds or have something else when we get to heaven? Is that, in essence, what I was hearing you say?
Yeah.
That where you could then, we could end up falling like Lucifer when we're in heaven. I heard you say that because you used the word condemn. But that's what you're asking, correct? Well, I'm not going to answer that today, but you need to keep these questions in mind, because when we get to lesson 8 or when Lucifer falls, you will see, I think it'll tie all together. Always have to remember that God has set this up. Remember, he is sovereign over everything. So God is we haven't got to how just God is yet, but God is just. Anything else about angels?
Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for them because Jesus can't save them like he can save us. You told us that Jesus wasn't made for the angels, so...
That's right. So he was the God did not
told him that last week.
Don't
know. What did he say? I go away and he says, fuck
that's
what
she got at him. But I don't know what I used for. I tried not to use Jesus.
Right.
I think last week I even caught myself after saying I shouldn't have said body, soul, and spirit. I shouldn't have even referenced that we are created in God's image when the question was asked. So
right.
You guys are going to play trick me up out here trying to get me to...
Laura, you may be referencing a sermon I preached just a couple weeks ago, because I made that, just talked about that,
right?
Maybe that's
in the sermon.
You're going to have me going back and I'm going to edit them so take them out so you can't hear it. Say, no, I never said that. So, pretty cool. All right. Tonight is the 6 days of creation in about 45 minutes. We're going to go through each day of creation in about 45 minutes. So if you have questions, just pop them out. Have your Bibles. Get ready, because we're going to have some scripture verses. So we're going to kind of go through this. It took God 6 days to create everything that we see here. And we're going to try to cover that in about an hour's time. So we're not going to get every little detail. So, but if you have questions, go for it. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis 1, chapter 3. Tonight's lesson is God reveals his nature and attributes through his creative acts. That's the title of the lesson. And I posted on Facebook the question about darkness, and I wanted to get your minds thinking, because we're going to talk here about what God said and how he created. So, someone got Genesis chapter 1, verse 3.
Then God said, let there be light, and it was light.
God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who's God speaking to?
Nobody.
Now we go back to some of our other lessons. God, why did God just create light with a voice?
Because he's the most powerful person.
Because he's the most powerful person. Remember that God is one, but there are three parts to God, or personalities to God, or beings of God. Yes, and so that's very important, because the only beings that were there, not people, the only beings that were there was the angels, right?
Right.
And so when God created the earth, heavens and the earth, and he created the light, they were there doing what?
Observing.
They were observing, and we read in Revelations that they were up there
cheering
them on. We also read in Jeremiah where we were cheering them on, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's very important that this is how God created. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because all the way through until a certain point in creation, he does this. He talks when he creates things. When it gets to a certain spot in creation, he changes it. And I want you to pick up on that. You won't maybe get that answer tonight, but the first day, God created light, and God said, let there be light. Read verse 4. God, actually, before we read verse 4, someone grab Psalms 33, 6, 8 through 9. Go for it.
Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it came to be, he commanded, and it stood firm.
Okay, just another passage of a writer, right. You read through verse 9?
Actually, I missed 6.
You missed 6, yeah.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts.
Yep. And it appeared at his command. The writer here in the Psalms is writing about how God created the earth. And he basically is just reaffirming again that he spoke. Let's read verse 4. Someone read verse 4 of Genesis.
God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness.
Ah, the next thing that God noted that God did was, mm-hmm. It was what?
It was good.
It was good. Now, notice that when God created this light, it is not the sun. This is not the sun that God created. We're going to get to that. So what kind of light could he have been creating here? What kind of questions go through your mind when you think about light? Can any of us here create light? Can we speak and create anything?
No.
So if someone goes over there right now and turns off the light switch, what's it going to... And then I have one of you just say, hey, let there be light. Would it come about?
No.
Now, we do this all the time jokingly. Sometimes you grab a flashlight and you say, let there be light, and you flick the switch on. And there's a light bulb or the flashlight comes on. But that's not really creating light. That's not creating anything. God spoke and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. And he recognized it. And when it means that it was good, it means it was perfect. When it says the word good, it means perfect. There was no blemish. There was no other thing. So, and why could God do that? Because his way is perfect. And... As in Genesis 5, or Genesis 1:5, that's the next verse, God says this. Who's going to read it?
God called the light day and the darkness night. And the evening passed and the morning came, marking the first day.
Yes. So he called the light day and the darkness night. Now, I posted on Facebook, did God create darkness? Because when I started studying this, there was a question to me. Did God create the darkness, or was the darkness always there?
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the, what was first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
Okay? But and the reason I posted that on there, because if you go back to the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he said that darkness covered...
Right.
The face of the earth, and it was without form and void. So
right.
And there was just water. So there was always darkness present, and God created this thing called light. It's not the sun. It's not the stars. Not the moon. We're gonna get to that. But God created this thing called light. And what could have been that light? And what? And the other part of the part that it got me thinking about was the darkness. In my mind, when I think of darkness, I tend to always associate darkness with evil. With something, the dark side, or something of that. And when God created light, he said it was good. And he separated them, the day and the night. And that ended up being the first day. So it took God speaking to create the light all day long. This was not just a 2-second thing. A day is 24 hours. Correct? So, your question?
Yeah, why did God separate the two? Why didn't he just have the entire day light? Why did we need half and half? If that makes any sense.
Why do we need to split it?
Yeah.
It's a very good question. How many of you can stay up? We talked about that in way before in one of the earlier lessons that we talked about that. Heck, can anybody stay up here for a long period of time? Remember, we talked about how soldiers going through boot camp will do something called, they call it Hell's Week, where you're 7 days, and you're basically getting a short amount of time, and your body's just drained, and eventually you die.
Right.
God's way is perfect. So you have to remember that. God's way is perfect. And when we think about his perfection, he knew, and we'll get to what he creates later on and why.
So he did that because of sleep? Because he knew that... He would need sleep.
I don't know. Lynn's got a question.
Response. I think one of the key factors when you think of God as creator, we think of God as creating things. There's there's another term that I think actually fits it more appropriately, and that is God as designer. And you see, you have to look at this as God having a plan in place. And I think it was 2 weeks ago, Matt, you might have asked the question, can anybody create something?
Mm-hmm.
And see, we can't create something from nothing, but we still have an artistic ability. Some of us don't, but others of you do. The ability to assemble something and create, you can design it. So you have to look at creation as God designing something with a master plan.
An end goal.
An end goal. Not happenstance.
Yeah, that's true. He did just... He's not just putting the stuff out there for... There's a reason why he's doing it.
Right.
So, master designer.
Do you think that some of it could have been that, you know, it says here, there was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And so first, it implies that darkness was there, and then second, he spoke light into the earth, separate.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that shows an example of darkness and light, which, like you said, is good and evil, which in the end is going to be separated between heaven
mm-hmm.
and hell.
You're way ahead, Kevin.
you're
we don't know anything about heaven or hell yet.
But in this class.
We're so thoroughly
Remember, we're going to try to come from this from an aspect where we know nothing about the Bible. And that's where, because we know some of those things, we can see that. But, yes. Also think about this, that God created the light, and it was perfect, it was good. However, when darkness was there, and the earth was without form and void, what do you think that looked like to God in his master plan, and his designer? As a designer, there was nothing. Maybe he got the light that came out and he saw the light was good and it showed all the blemishes that needed to be corrected, fixed. I don't know. I don't know what God was thinking. He doesn't tell us this here. But think about that as in the master planner. So let's go to the next one. Maybe I skip ahead here to make sure I'm not missing. Someone grab Jeremiah 10:12. It's going to reaffirm again what we just read here about... Someone grab Jeremiah 10:12, but hold on a second. We got to read Genesis 6:8. I'm jumping way ahead of myself. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that's what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heaven. And God called the space sky. And the evening passed and the morning came, marking the second day. Now, picture this. It's all water. So the light is thrown across this vast span of water right now. And God separates that. What does that look like in your mind? What do you think of when you think of this huge span of water being separated?
Rain clouds and sea.
Rain clouds and sea. So we have a mass of water. Because that's all the earth was at this point, was just a body of water. There was nothing else. And God separated that. Does any questions come to your mind about what that might have looked like? Or you ever thought about it?
We never touched on the light, though. You said it wasn't the sun.
Well, we'll kind of come to that. Because that'll come up here in the next couple of verses here.
Okay.
The sun wasn't created yet. The earth's not circulating around it. So how long is that day?
Evening and morning. Yeah.
No, the sun's not
is it time or is it just, could the day just be a...
Very good question. Notice that the day starts when? When does tomorrow start? In our thinking, it starts when?
Midnight.
At midnight, that's when it starts. What does God? What does God's view of when times when the day starts?
Light.
When the light comes in.
Huh?
When the sun comes up.
Now then, you're shaking your head now. Don't go there yet?
Evening and morning.
Right. When does God start his day?
When he wakes up.
Just think about that. Think about that. Well, you know, you're going to hear that phrase over and over.
Right. That's a good question.
It's like the evening.
Ah. He starts his day in the evening. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God starts that. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, but think about it. Think through it.
Josh, you raised an interesting question because, you know, before the sun, what created the evening and the morning? What created all this?
Mm-hmm.
Now we look at it and say, well, the sun creates that.
Correct.
Right. I'll give you an answer that will just blow you away. Granted, no one else has ever thought of this. And the answer is simply, I don't know.
Well, how about this? I mean, let me try to put this in the right words, I guess. When God was doing all this, maybe he didn't actually have a time. And he didn't specify, okay, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, I got to work on this. But he laid this out in the scriptures so we have a better understanding. That makes sense.
Yes, I would say
that's a theory.
Just your thought. I will say this: God put this in here for a reason. It's his design. It's his plan. There's a reason why. If he didn't want us to have that, he wouldn't have put it in here. But he put it in there for a reason. And so, as you meditate on what that. And the word meditate means to, like a cow, chewing its cud. You chew on something for a long time, you bring it back up again, and you chew on it. We may find that answer as we go through here. There's a reason why God puts evening and morning as the first day. And what? The sun wasn't created yet, so we don't know, and all the stars and stuff haven't been created yet. We're going to get to that tonight. But we don't know if the earth was spinning. We don't know if it was circulating around the, you know, turning, you know, and having that motion that was put in place. We don't know that. So, and we may never know that. But that's very good. Okay, someone got Jeremiah 12 or 10:12.
It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom. By his understanding, stretched out the heavens.
Okay, so he made the earth by his power. Again, God is over all. It's his. Got to come back to that because he is sovereign. So he created that. Let's read the third day. Now you have nothing but a span of water in the heavens. Now you have a span of water on the earth. Genesis 1, 9 through 10.
Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and he called the gathering of the water seas, and God saw that it was good.
Okay, again, he spoke, and he creates that, and causes some of the water on the earth to recede to form dry land. And he said it was good. It was perfect. What else was in those verses? What did he call them?
He called it good.
He called it good, but he called some. He called it something.
Called it land.
He called it land. He called it land. What do we call it today? We still call it land, right? I find it very interesting that even though 6,000 years or, you know, how history has gone through, we still use some of the same language that God used. Can you and I stop a tsunami?
No.
Well, we're trying to learn how to do that, right? I mean, they project when it's going to happen and what you can do to prevent it and try to do that, right? But we can't. You and I cannot physically say land, water. Would you ever be able to control a flood by stopping a flood? we try to do those things with sandbags and try to control it, but in essence, we can't do anything with that. And here God separated with just a spoken word. And then he said it was good. What does that tell you about God? What does that reaffirm to you about who God is?
So powerful.
He's powerful, right. It's all with a spoken word. Just completely speaks about it. He then does this. In 11 through 13, what does he do to the land? Yeah, someone read that.
Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day.
Okay. In the third day, he separated the waters from the land, and he created them. He called one sea, and he called one land. And then he went and created all of life, plant life. And he said, hey, let's talk a little bit about plants. Anybody here ever planted something? What has to happen in order for something to grow? When we plant something?
Photosynthesis.
It what?
Photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis. Yeah. Now you're talking language I don't even remember.
Seeds need to germinate.
Seeds need to germinate.
Yeah.
Yep. If you plant a seed upside down, and heat it from the bottom of the seed, what happens? Where does the plant go? Down? Does it go all the way to the ground? It still comes up. Why does it come up? For the light. Okay? When you plant a row of, I live in the woods, and so I've tried to plant corn, and when I plant the corn, if I don't plant it in the middle and I plant too close to the woods, what happens to the corn? Well, it grows, but what happens to the corn? It what?
It's short.
It's short, but it goes to where the light is. You ever see the trees, or if you look at, go through a woods, or you walk outside here and look into a tight woods, the trees sometimes bend and they go towards the light. Why is that? If God would have created this all first, what would have happened? If he would have done the land and the plants first before he created the light, what would have happened? Right. There's your master designer. He knew all this beforehand. Can you take a peach seed that you're going to grow a peach tree out of it and get an apple tree? Can you take a seed of corn that you plant in the ground and get lima beans? No. God has a way. It produces what he had created or what he had spoken there. Picture this, picture a world full of vegetation, full of greenery, full of flowers, roses. I mean, just picture it. I mean, it's, we see what we see now around us, but picture something that is totally vast beyond anything you could ever comprehend or imagine. A world that is full of, well, we got flowers out there around the cross when you come in, but it's just full. There's just full amounts of flowers, trees of every kind, and they were told to do what? Bear fruit. They were told to, and they reproduced. They kept right on going. And so that's what God, and he got to the end of it, and he saw, and he looked back, stood back and watched what he just spoke into motion, and he said it was good. It was perfect. God is that master designer. He didn't just, well, I need a pole bean. If you know that, if you study plants today, you take a pole bean and it grows a certain way. Okay? Anybody here grow pole beans? Yeah. If you grow it a certain way, if you grow pole beans this year, Lori, when you get done, that one of them grows all the way to the top, I want you to take that thing, unwrap it, and wrap it the other way, and you see what happens to your pole bean. It will die. It will die. Pole beans grow a certain way. And that's part of that. If you try to undo that, it will die. Growing up as a boy, I heard there was a man called Walter Wilson. And he was a scientist. And he would go to fields where someone had some pole beans. And he said, and he noticed that they had wrapped them the wrong way. So when you go to rewrap a little, they'll die. Watch, you try one.
Just one. I'm only asking you to do one for the project here. Yes, Jay.
I have a question. So you're saying that in order to plant, like, a corn seed, or where God planted, because he planted everything.
Well, he didn't plant them, so, but go ahead.
Okay, he made them and then wanted them to multiply, correct? By the seeds. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how can he do that without the sun? Because you need sun in order
right.
to...
No, he had light.
He had light.
He had light.
So you're saying that I can put a plant without sun, and it will grow.
Yes, you can.
And artificial light. You
yes.
Can
artificial
sun.
Light. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. In a greenhouse, you don't necessarily need sunlight in order for the product that you're planting to grow. And that would be, yes, you can have daylight outside, but the sun may not physically be there, just the daylight. Sun's there in the sky, but you won't actually see it. It's cloudy or overcast, but it will grow.
The other thing is, notice we're only talking days here.
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
So this is in the process of creation.
Yeah, this isn't months and weeks. We picture this as, you know, we see a plant, you put it in the ground, I don't know what, soybeans now, you got 60-day beans or something like that, so you plant them in the ground, and then you don't see the fruit for 60 days. Remember, God spoke this, and he didn't have just beans. He had full trees. He had, everything was mature. It wasn't just like, he's planted everything
so
small.
Does this answer the question of chicken or the egg first?
No. All the way through this, you're hearing God say, he said it, it comes about. He speaks, it comes about. And then he says, it is good. That means that everything he made from this part of creation that he spoke was perfect. We have to remember that it was perfect. There was no blemishes, everything was perfect.
Do you know, Matt, how hard it is to grow something that's been, or the ground's been flooded for a little while? I don't know how many days this was, but if you go out and a piece of ground's been flooded, and you plant something in it right after the water's gone, you know how hard it is to grow something?
No, I've never tried that.
And he made dry land, and he
immediately put it in the flood. Yeah. Again, that shows you what about God. He's powerful. Right, he's powerful. And he's overall. So everything was perfect. There was nothing imperfect. There was no evil. Okay? And that's where my mind was rolling. Because I oftentimes associate darkness. And yet that in itself, darkness was good. It had a plan. God had a plan for that. All right, someone read Genesis 14 through 19. This is a little longer passage, and then we're going to get into something. We're getting into what he's creating here.
Then God said, let there be light in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God sent them to the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
Okay. So we've only gone 4 days. And look what God has created so far, spoken to them. And what did he create here? This is where he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, this doesn't tell us here that that's where he started to put everything into orbit. But, and I didn't bring it tonight, but I'll post it on the Facebook page. I'll post a picture of the galaxies that are around. As far out as man can physically has been able to see. And I'll post that on there, and you guys can go on and look at it and watch a little video. But think about this, that he placed it. Anybody here ever seen the Northern Lights?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
They're beautiful. And this is some of the things that God created. God created, he spoke it into motion, his design. He has the sun and the moon. One is to do what? One is the light, but one, it does a purpose. He tells us what it does. One is to do what? One is to rule the daytime, and one is to rule the night. So he put these two large bright lights in the sky, and he called one sun, and he called one the moon, and they are to rule over their specific, that's their role. God created them for that purpose. You're looking at me like, no. I never know. Sometimes when Lynn's like, he's thinking something, or he's going to ask a question, it's going to get me just not sure, Lynn. So he has that.
Attention to me.
What else does he do? What else does this display about God again?
So powerful.
He's so powerful. Stars were put into motion. Stars were put in a specific order. You got the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. Mm-hmm. You got mountains, or you got the Orion's Belt, and you got all these things. I'm not an astrologist, but you have all these stars God put in there at that time, and you spoke it.
And they've been in the same place ever since,
right? As far as I know, because, and you can go back in history, people would use the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper to guide us.
North Star.
Yeah. In Job, it talks about the constellations of the stars. It talks about how that the stars were there, and they would use those. Astrologers would use those to mark times. He created something else here that was not in place yet. That's very important. What else did he create in here? He set the stars, the lights. God set the lights in the sky to light them, to govern the night and the day.
To mark
the seasons. There's another reason that they're there, to mark the seasons. He created seasons. We have summer, winter, fall, and springtime. We're in springtime now. He created the seasons then. What happens during the seasons? Now, currently, we have it. I'm curious as to know what your thoughts would have been. This, everything was perfect, right? But yet there were seasons. There were four seasons, even in creation.
Well, in the spring, stuff starts to grow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Stuff starts to grow, and life comes in. During the summer, it's beautiful, it's hot. Right now it's hot. It's perfect.
How is there four seasons in Hawaii?
How is there four seasons in Hawaii? Yeah. Don't know, I've never been to Hawaii.
I'm just asking because you said there's four seasons.
There's always four seasons.
It's like they have a dry season, things fall off, they shed, and then they have a wet season, things start growing back.
Correct, yes. We've been down to Nicaragua, they don't necessarily get snow, but
right.
They have a wet season. They have a monsoon season. You go to like some countries in Asia, that's what they have. They experience a wet season. And that, but there's seasons. There's times. There's times that the land changes. God created seasons. And there's a reason God created those seasons. Jeremiah 23:23-24 says this: Am I a God near at hand, and not a God far off? Do I not fill heaven and earth? We're only on day four, and we've got all this vast creation. I don't know about you, but that, to me, that just makes me, for me, it makes me admire God even more than what I admire or look up to, because he's created such a huge universe. Even though he's created this universe, he's different.
I have a legit question.
Okay. The class, you got to answer this.
Tell me where you get seasons out of 14 to 19.
It says, let the light appear to the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days and years.
What translation are you looking at?
Uh, Well, it's in the King James, but I'm reading out of the NLT.
And
mine
says, they will serve as signs for pestilence and for days and years.
Yeah, it's a season. Let there be, let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
Okay. It sounds like you created time.
KJV, not KJV, NIV, the new NIV says sacred time.
Sacred
time.
Right.
Yeah. Some use the word festivals. I think someone said
that.
Yeah,
I would, and the only reason I ask that question is because I would challenge whether, in fact, I would really challenge whether at creation we had the seasons as we know them today.
Correct. I would not say that as we know.
And so I would be careful about trying to pull that parallel and saying, well, as we know the seasons now is how it was at creation. When you get to week 12, 13, something like that, we'll explain all that. But because the way we see our world today is totally altered.
Right, because this is perfect. These seasons, this time was perfect. So you're correct.
Yeah.
So, as you were picturing it today, don't picture it like that.
So, sacred times, and it's translated. Here we got a, you know, Hebrew word. How are they? How is it translated in English? There's different. As we can see here, there's different interpretations. And it appears to me like some translators are shying away from using the word seasons because of the connotation that it gives.
It's good. Any other thoughts on that? What about shooting stars?
Meteors.
Ever see one?
Yeah.
Pretty cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God had these stars are there. They're in patterns. They move in a certain rotation. I don't know if they were shooting stars back then or not. But like the seasons, that may have changed. There may have been things that happened. But think about that. All those stars, they were on a path. There are stars that are still in the same position that they were when God created them. We know that. The tides come because of the moon. They can predict out far in advance when a tide is going to be based off the moon. All that was put in motion. Our calendars. All that stuff was based off of this part of creation. Doesn't happen just by chance. None of us can go in and just say that. Someone get Psalms 104:19.
He made the moon to mark the festivals. The sun knows when to set.
He made the moon to mark the festivals, mm-hmm. and the sun knows when to set. Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is that telling you about God here? When you think into what that verse was saying. Or what does it reveal about
him? NIV says he made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is that same thing where we were back. Right. You know, it can be the wording of the Hebrew word there.
Right.
Could have multiple meanings. There's multiple meanings for the word love. Okay, and so there can be multiple ways you can translate that. So that could be the season. But what does it tell you about God, though? What does it reveal to you about him? It reveals to us that God is a God of, I'm looking for one word.
Order.
Order, right. It reveals to us that God is a God of order. That he has a reason, he put everything into that. He's an organizer. As much as I grew up at home having a father who was an organizer and hating organization, God is a God of order. He does things orderly. There is a reason to why he did everything. He just didn't do anything just for whatever.
Hey, I was wondering what you think. It seems like the sun knows it's going down, so it's like the sun's moving instead of the earth spinning.
Ah.
Kind of the
I was wondering if anyone was going to ask that question. Yeah. It seems like you, when you read this, that the sun goes down at night, so the sun is actually moving instead of the earth turning, as we know it.
And we thought that for a long time.
That's one of those things. Back then, I don't know. Remember, everything was perfect. So maybe in God's plan back then, that it, the sun did go down and the earth stayed same. I can't answer that. Maybe a scientist could answer that.
I wouldn't try and... This is an interesting... I'm really glad you raised the question, because it creates a thing of saying, okay, do you take the exact wording of the Bible as literal, or do you take the intent of the words? You understand what I'm saying? And so the message here is that the sun is going down. We all refer to the sun as setting, right?
Sunset.
But, yeah. However, so could it be that that the writer who was given, Moses, who was given this picture, saw the sun as setting and worded it that way? We know from science that that's not accurate, that the earth revolves or is moving, the sun is stationary. So be careful about, I always think we have to be careful about, I can put it this way, I can imagine some, you know, thousands of years ago, or hundreds of years ago, some black and white preacher getting up and declaring that the sun moves around the earth, and anybody who says so doesn't believe in the Bible.
Right.
You know, and just, you can't do that. You have to look at what the intent was, and science actually confirms.
And even scientists say, they set the... You can go on and look on your phone to go to the app, and what does it say about the... What time is sunset? They use the word, sunset's at 6:30 or 5:30. Sunrise is at 6:45, whatever. Even their language, they're using terminology that the scripture is using here,
right.
And yet we know that the earth is turning. They don't even go in and try to change that. So I would agree with Lynn on that. Okay. Yeah, the key is to look at the principle of what God did. And but these are questions we run into. We have these questions. They come up. And it's not, they're not bad questions. Just you got to keep them coming. All right. Genesis. I read that one already.
Flip through here.
All right, we're almost done. Fifth day, God created all marine life and birds. Someone read Genesis 20 through 23.
Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day.
Okay. What does this tell you about God? He's powerful. Yeah. I'm going to keep going back to that question, because as we're processing this, as if we don't know who God is, what does this tell us about him? And he spoke into motion again. He says, and the waters were filled with all the fish. All the animals were created. All the birds were created. And this passage here is telling us. What else does it tell us about God? Do the animals have a purpose?
He's fighting for the future.
Ah. Mm-hmm. You can see the progression, right? What questions come to your mind? Are there any questions about the birds and the fish?
It's amazing to me that when you watch birds or animals or of any kind, they still do the same thing they did for... I mean, every year martins come up this time of the year.
Uh-huh.
I have martins, and they come up every year around this time of They do the same thing. I don't know where they come from. South, down south.
Mm-hmm.
And even living or other animals, you watch them. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if they follow the stars. I don't know. I just don't know. God put them there for, you know, just this things like that, they go through their life. But just imagine that.
Yeah.
If we go down to Rehoboth or to Lewis Beach and you swim in the water, can you see anything?
Too
dirty. <Not tonight. laughs>
You gotta
okay.
Go to Florida.
But I want you to, yeah, go to Florida or something. But I want you to imagine the oceans and the waters swarming with all kinds of beautiful fish. They're just, they're there. This was perfect. So I imagine, like, I hear if you go out 50, 60 miles out on the ocean, you can see down 100 feet. It's clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been told. I haven't been out there, but that's what I've been told. I imagine this was completely crystal clear water, and it was just beautiful because it was perfect. He says some other key things in these verses. He says that the waters swarm with the fish and other life, let the skies be filled with the birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that swims in the water. And every bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. Now, how does that explain? What does that mean, offspring of its own kind?
Doesn't that mean that not every bird that we see today was created at that time?
Ah. At that time, a toucan, we had toucans, we had to have them back then, but a toucan and a toucan only produced a toucan. Am I saying that right, a toucan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody know what a toucan is? So... That's what happened. So you didn't have a toucan producing a purple mark. You just didn't have that. Okay. God instilled in. Well, let me. Well, I'll come back to that because that ties into animals as well, which is the sixth day. Could you just create for me tonight a sparrow? Somebody do that for me. Just cause a sparrow to appear.
No, and if I could, I would.
He tries to get rid of the sparrows. I want you to, can you get your mind, can you wrap your mind around that God just said, let there be the sparrows, mm-hmm. let there be birds of every kind, let there be fish, and it just appeared. That's what it was. And he got to the end of that day, and he said it was good.
It was good.
So why did he make so many different kinds of it?
Ah!
Very creative.
Or did he? That's Ashley asks, why did he make so many different kinds of birds and fish? And Linda's saying, or did he? In our world today, we know what happens if you take a lab in a lab and you...
Laboratories.
And you've got that.
Yes.
We're not going to answer that question tonight. We can't get into that. We're not on the timeline yet. But when God created the earth, that's all that happened. The DNA structure, as we know it today, DNA... of animals and mankind was perfect. That's it. So, and you only had toucans and toucans producing toucans. That's it. Okay? And I'm using that one as an example because that's what popped in my head.
Can you elaborate a little bit, Matt, on what the word means after his own kind?
Okay. After his own kind. What does that mean to you when you hear that? After his own kind.
Mm.
Could it be possible? Oh, go ahead.
They were perfect.
They were perfect.
Are you referring to birds and animals? Or are you referring to
this is just fish and birds right here. So, but he says the same thing in the next few verses. What does that mean, after his own kind?
According to its own kind, yeah.
So you haven't read verse 24 yet.
Right, 24 and 25.
I'm sorry, I'm ahead of my game.
Okay. Well, we can read that because it all ties together. Animals and the according
it's in 21 as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me go back. Yeah. So go read. Someone read 24 and 25.
Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind."
Mm-hmm.
And God saw that it was good.
God saw that it was good. Lynn asked the question, expound on its own kind, or according to its kind. I don't know where he wants me to go with this, or what he's asking. But if you think about it today, you have different. You've got a tiger. You've got a mountain lion. You've got wolves and coyotes. Are they not the same kind?
Mammals.
They are. They are, but they aren't.
But they're not.
What I mean by that, and maybe I'm getting a little bit off the beaten path here with this, but...
No, you're going down the right path.
Yes. I want you to think through. You got a fox and a coyote. Mm-hmm. They are of the same...
kind.
They're of the same kind.
Right.
And they're... Yeah, I can't... I don't know if I should go and say they're predator and...
DNA is really where we understand DNA today. So,
right.
So that's really where we're headed is different lines of DNA.
Correct. And as we progress through this, the future lessons, you're going to see what happens. You're going to see what happened. There's some changes that happen with that. The question a few weeks ago about the Nephilim, or last was it last week, the Nephilim?
Yeah.
What is that, and what were they, and all that? There's a reason why DNA was perfect back then, and then what happens in the future.
I think I know where you're going when you defer that. I've been sitting here trying to think what lesson you're referring to. I would almost, if you're referring to imperfection,
yeah.
You're referring to imperfection?
I'm referring to that changes.
That's true. But I think it's essential to understand. I would not say that, let's...
We all
know the story of Noah and the Ark, mm-hmm.
Right?
Were wolves present at Noah? And were they a part of Noah and the Ark? Were they a part on the Ark?
We're not there yet.
Not necessarily.
Not as we know them today.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Right.
Not necessarily, because a wolf is a crossbreed of a kind,
mm-hmm.
of a species.
Correct.
And so everybody always talks about all the different kinds of animals on the Ark. When we get to that story. I think it's essential to understand that God created, and when he said according to its kind, that did not mean that a dog as we know it is what the way he created a dog.
Correct.
And it doesn't mean that, and I'm not sure, Matt, if I'm sort of gathering, you're saying that the crossbreeding and the DNA, or the species change as a result of imperfection. I'm not sure if God didn't design it that way.
Could have been.
In fact, that's where I would be, is I would be that part of God's master design was to create individual species lines, but yet as these species lines propagated, they became unique and different.
And the same would go for flowers and plants and things, that this was part of God's master design, that he put something in motion and change happened.
I would agree with that. There would be a side of me that's, and I haven't got to that lesson yet where we talk about that change. I don't want to go into too much detail with that,
right.
But there, the question about the Nephilim and with the angels last week that was asked, God says some pretty strong language when we get to that part. Okay, and doesn't mean that the DNA changed, or that doesn't mean that. But there was a reason why he did some things. The question that Seth had posted on Facebook about why did God only does God cut off man's years to 120? If you were on there, there's a reason that took place. And if you go later on, it's even less than that. But that at that point it was 120 years. But so again. But after the pine land, I would agree with you that is a
baseline genetics.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So you're saying he created one dog? I'm just saying dog.
I don't know what it was.
But then
it might have been a saber-toothed lion at that time. You know, you see these scientists find a prehistoric with a saber-toothed lion. They have the fossils from it, and out of that same line could have come the tiger or the lion. And that's what I mean. So it's the same kind.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
But like we're not to Adam and Eve yet, but it was Adam and Eve, but you have Japanese and Chinese and Native American and all that. But you started with Adam and Eve, so that people start it. And
yes. You're going
to
add something.
And I think the reason I think it's such an important topic to talk about when you're talking about creation is because that's, you know, the theory of evolution that is taught in our culture today and is readily accepted as fact is if you look at God's creation of him putting a design in motion, he put this thing, it's like he started the wheel spinning and it perpetually spins, that there will be a natural evolution of change. However, it didn't happen from nothing. And that's what Matt kept referencing. You know, none of us can create anything from nothing.
Right.
And you look at, in fact, there's an illustration I've used when I teach this lesson.
Go for it.
Do you mind? It's going to give me
one. Go second. For it.
While he's gone, what the heck is the Nephilim?
Read Genesis. Some of the newer translations, I think King James used the word Nephilim. But read Genesis 6.
Genesis chapter 6.
That's where that is. Yep. 6. I'm glad you said that. I remember this illustration when he when I went to this class. Now that
Sherry,
you're saying
would you like to watch me do this?
Terrible, I paid money for it.
Look at it real closely and pass it along.
Pass it along. I want you to look at it real closely. And if you look at this flower very closely, your eyes can only see so much. If you were to take a microscope and put this under a microscope, you would see this thing, the incredible detail of what composes, makes up this flower. Now, if you take one petal and you look at that under a microscope, and Ashley should probably be up here.
I got a microscope. So
yeah.
Really
yeah. And you can bring, you know, the more powerful the microscope, you see building blocks
of individual cells, and I don't even know what makes up cells. I'm not a science geek, but you know what is even beyond that? Well, there's building blocks that make up this petal that you and I can't see, and so this thing was made, is designed with incredible order and design and structure. And the reason I'm pointing this out is you look at the theory of evolution. The basis of the theory of evolution is that something came from nothing by chance. And you know, we're not here to really, neither Matt nor I are scientists that we could sit here and argue and debate all the different angles of evolution and exactly how it is. What we're simply saying is this: God, in His Word, God said that He created it with a spoken word. And when you look at the complexity of creation, it didn't happen by chance. It just doesn't at all logically make sense. In fact, this is what chance would be. I have a beautiful flower here, just like you have in front of you. Chance is me saying, there it is. And to keep throwing them petals up and down billions of times until one time they happen to align themselves exactly like the flower you see it. And by the way, it stopped changing then and decided that's a good way and we'll continue that way. It did this all by chance. You know, it's logically it just doesn't fit at all. And to say an evolution theory, if you go to the heart of evolution, it is to try and convince us that there is no need for a God or an intelligent designer. In fact, you read articles over and over again of scientists, evolution scientists, who will not deny that intelligent design. The ones who don't believe in God, but they say that somewhere intelligent design makes sense. Now I want you to do one more thing. And Matt, you've done a great job here of talking about that God did it with power, and that God did it with design, with structure and all that. And you laid this great picture of the sea with all these vibrant colored fish. I want you to just do me a favor and close your eyes. Go ahead and close your eyes. Now envision a world without color. No color, black and white. Can you? You can open your eyes.
No.
Can you? Why would God create color? I mean, why? Why not make a black and white world?
God's not boring.
Variety.
He is a master designer, and he will get it. And he is a creator. This is one of his characters. He loves beauty. And the other side of the coin is, we haven't got there, next week we will, but he created color
for us,
for you and I.
Just to see.
He created color because he wants you and I to enjoy the world that he created. Sorry. You know, I would never sit at a table or at a front of a podium and debate an evolutionist. I'd lose. I'm not a scientist.
But I have no problem sitting and debating someone who says evolution is true and simply saying, you explain to me intelligent design, and then I'll listen. Can't do it. Can't do it. The theory of happenstance doesn't make sense. The theory of God's word and Him creating it with a specific design and purpose, that carries weight and it matches up with the world as we see it. Hmm. It's one of my favorite illustrations. Thank you for letting me share it.
Absolutely.
I'll pick that up later.
Any thoughts? I was going to end with one passage, Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak, and night after night they make Him known. They speak without ever uttering a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet the message is going throughout the entire earth, and the words throughout the world. And we saw that with that little illustration, how creation speaks to a powerful, all-knowing, all-creating, all-present everywhere, a perfect God. Any last thoughts?
Well, I have one. I guess Lynn kind of gave the answer, but for me, just sitting here going through this lesson, I've been dwelling on the question, why? Why did God specifically lay this all out this way, and why did He do it? And like Lynn said, you know, it's, in all reality, we're going to probably find out next week, but it's for us.
It's for us.
And to me, that's fascinating. To me, that's like, wait a minute. We're going through each day, I look at everything, and it's laid out so He's preparing for the end goal. And that's getting to the point where He's going to make us. And so for me, I just find that fascinating. And I guess overwhelming. So, yeah.
Okay, well, that's it for tonight. I will. I'll leave you with this last thought to think about all week long till next Thursday. Remember that God spoke everything that we learned about tonight into existence, and He said it was good or perfect. And I'm hammering that for a reason. Okay, I'm focusing on that. I want you to get that He spoke it for a reason, because it's, next week you're going to understand that. All right.
And so you can see the timeline. Now that class is over, I want to.